All right, it's 8 o'clock Thursday evening in California, and we're live. I appreciate all of your calls. I appreciate the commitments to pray and fast. I did what I've always done with you. Honestly told you of my current and long since May battle with nausea, and ask you to pray as I go to the hospital Tuesday to see if we can find out what the cause is. I thank you for all of the cures that you're sending me and all the diagnosis that's coming. Everything from ginger roots, which I have a feeling I've consumed the United States supply over the last 5 months, to Prilosec and Nexium and John Elway's marvelous cure, with Prevacid, every cure known to man, including what I have more respect for, really, the homeopathic people that are not as much in love with drug companies as the American Medical Society is. I won't be talking to you about it anymore. We'll just replay that half hour. When I say something to you, I will come and tell you that I'm not sick anymore. Or I'll sing, "Death Ain't No Big Deal." And I'm going to keep singing that no matter what. No, I don't think I'm going to die. I just can't take the debilitating. I'm really angry. This is the first time I haven't ridden my bicycle my age in several years. I find it hard to study. I forced myself to come here because misery loves company. And I appreciate, I'm not unaware, you rise to a challenge, and I appreciate those that are here tonight. You will not be kept waiting if you make phone calls, because this is an unusual increase in the voices of faith tonight. I hope it's a symptom that you are doing what you've always done, stepping up to the plate. When you, that's the hard part, when you become convinced, there's a serious challenge from the devil, and we need to kick his ass.
Yes, sir.
I expect you to make more reservations for the cathedral Sunday, though I sure don't want to announce that I'm sick to accomplish that. I will not be saying much, if anything, on Sunday morning. The story's been told. The people that really care in this congregation tune in during these hours. I have no interest in satisfying the curiosity of the fringe parts of the congregation. I keep a commitment of honesty with those of you that have been the supporting part of this congregation and still are, new as well as old. So tonight we're going to get down to the business. I'm going to teach on healing. We're going to go to the table of the Lord. I'm going to yell at you till the reservations get up. I've noticed one thing. I get mad and the adrenaline rushes, it eases the nausea just a little bit. So give me a reason. Now, I want to give some kind instruction to the voices of faith. And you are excused because we don't really have a complicated voice of faith training program. You just come here and learn how to say Dr. Gene's Got Lines and take messages. But I've noticed that sometimes when the music ends and I start talking, people laid the open phone down. Now, I think most of you have heard me say many times, when I'm ready for you to stop talking and answering phones, I will say, no more calls. But I also say, finish the calls you're on. Be courteous. Don't shut them off. And I get the sense, with the painful perception I have, that some say the equivalent to, you got a hold, or he's talking now, and you'll lay a phone down that's open, and I'll talk for 10 minutes, and the phone lays there. You don't do that. You finish your call. If you got a negative call, you're supposed to hang up anyway. And if it's somebody wanting to make a long speech and read an internet 8-page printout of a homeopathic cure of what they think I have, tell them to call back when the music starts again. But whatever else you may do, one thing you don't do is lay an open phone down. Now, I will tell you the kind of things that I tried to get done for 29 years. I did when we came here because it was small enough. I came to town with an in-house attorney and an outside CPA that I brought with me. And like in those early years of the 70s, they used to feature a special bankruptcy team that would take over businesses and pull them back together. And I also had a team in San Francisco that I could count on to do things. But we got so big that I had people that were supposed to be monitoring bills whose solution was, tell me when the shutoff notice comes and pay it, whether it's legitimate or not. I came tonight to see my wife with a stack at least that high of the phone bill on the 800 number. Now, if it's legitimate calls, I don't care if it's that high. The point is, it was she who found that people were pirating in on our collect call number until, to save anywhere from $3,000 to $20,000 a month, we had to discontinue it because people pirated the number and then were calling from a nation in Central Africa and one of the Caribbean nations and running up horrendous bills for their own, whatever their nefarious activity was. I came in to find her with that glint in her eye. I said, what are you doing? And, well, the bill for the 800 number this month is between $1,500 and $2,000 more than it normally is. And she went on to say, if that's just because more calls have been coming in, well, praise God. But I saw her marker flashing to discover one of these rotten, low-down, evil telephone companies. These not-yet-caught Enron companies. So-called public utilities. That never tell you, if you're a small businessman, that you can make contractual agreements with them to reduce. They have plans. But if you don't take the initiative and demand a representative work with you and give you a plan, they're going to gig you beyond belief. Her marker was flashing because fully 3 and 6 inches of page after page were surcharges, add-ons that are not allowed under our plan because some... Do you have any idea how I restrain myself? Because I know how to be really eloquent. You've never heard me at my best if you haven't been here a voice of faith and seen me let go. How many of you in here know how creative I can really be with the English language? And when I'm done of one of those descriptive expressions, they know what it is that I've said. Now, I wish I could be an eavesdropper tomorrow. I said, do you want me to have so-and-so? Because I pay one guy and keep him on retainer to just be a killer dog. And there are people in here that can't work for me anymore. Because anytime a vendor calls and says, you owe this bill, he's always on the side, particularly if it's a computer company, he's always on the side. He can't work here anymore. Because without exception, he treats the voice of a credit manager of a vending company in this corrupt society with more faith than he has in God's Word. And we're always, oh yes, we'll take care of that. When it's been taken care of 3 times and we've been overcharged 5 times. You're a killer dog when you work for me. The vendor's always wrong. If my signature's going on a check, man, you better prove you got it coming. So I have people that go, well, we got to order it. Give us a check and we'll order it. Over my dead body, do you get my money without me getting the product? How do you think I pulled this church from the edge of bankruptcy? We had spending maniacs. Spending money that was sacrosanct, trust money. And I like my wife. I wish I could eavesdrop on what she's going to tell the phone company tomorrow. But this is related to what I'm saying. It doesn't help if you just lay a phone down. I'm so old-fashioned, I fly mad. When somebody that's worked for me for 15 years knows where the switch is, and at 3 in the afternoon are working on a ladder underneath the night lights, they didn't turn off. You want to pay the power bill? Not quite said that kindly. Oh, no. How do you work under powerful night lights illuminating a 2.5-acre place in the daytime? How do you work under them without feeling the heat? I could tell you, but I'm on TV, so I'll settle for just numbskull, though I would really like to say numb at a lower dimension of the body. Now, nobody ever said this to you, voice of faith. I don't want to ever see a phone laying down there open. If they want to listen to me, get a KU band. They're not going to call and say, well, I'm not listening right now, and I want to hear what he's saying. And you leave the phone open for them? We just had 300 people step forward to give $1,000 in 1 week. You only need, on an average, less than $500 apiece to get a KU band. And our voice is protected to you forever. For almost a year, Channel 56 has been carrying us on their second high definition channel, 24 hours a day. I cannot believe that every member of this church that doesn't have a dish has not gone to the various TV outlets, told them what kind of TV you have and what you have to do to get the high definition modern digital TV, which is in quality incomparable to what you're watching. Better. And you install, most modern TVs are required to have that access availability. I can tell you it costs well less than a KU band dish. And you go to channel 56 and you hit high definition and you go to 30 and then 31 is the second channel. And there I am on high definition digital TV 24 hours a day. I may be sick, but some of you are nuts. Or numb below the belt or somewhere. Wherever your mind spends most of its time. You're numb in that area. This is serious business. The spirit of Antichrist is at work. Civil rights going out the window. We have stations now telling us they're not going to be able to carry us if we don't get, what do you call that?
Closed caption.
Who? Closed caption. Well, now, tell me how. Have you ever put your TV on mute and read the closed caption? I mean, there's some pretty dangerous substitute words for the sounds that machine hears. Can you see closed caption? Pay the money for it. And the machine and all the equipment translating my use of Arabic, Coptic, Ethiopic, Hebrew, Greek, Armenian. What kind of transliteration words will come printed on the screen? Well, now, we pay so regular and have started to gain a respect for the quality of the programming in comparison to most of the religious beggars, that they are winking at the FCC requirement, but they are saying they're not allowed with their license to sell time unless you have closed captioning, and the deadline is coming. When are you going to understand that I stay 10 years ahead of what the government is doing to silence an honest voice of God and the gospel going out? So wait until, where did he go? I can't hardly keep from getting so mad at these people who say, well, I used to watch it 20 years ago. Where did you go? You know, I don't feel as nauseous. I'm reading from F.F. Bosworth, Christ the Healer. He said, well, why don't you just let us get the book and read it ourselves? Because you don't know what to eliminate. And you don't know what to elaborate. There isn't any book I've found yet that I can wholesale recommend. Now, I was in the midst of reading, you know, the devil. If he wants me to teach on healing, keep me sick. I do what you guys are told to do, you women too. Practice what I preach. And I told you last night, my wife is, I can't believe it. She has every sermon she, and every waking moment that she could watch. And then, of course, she is the final editor and cut on all the edited messages that go out to the stations. I believe she's got every key message I preach, she's got it memorized. So, for 20-some years, I had nobody to preach to me in my times of discouragement. I can come and preach to you guys, and I had to preach to myself. But it's, you know, it doesn't have the same impact when you're on the back end of it going out than on the spear point when it's coming in. You got the idea? There are a lot of things that are, that's a universal truth I just declared to you. You know, one thing the devil cannot take away is my sense of humor. And you ought to be glad of that. But all these messages, they're nitro pills. I'm just doing what I tell you to do. Blessed men go through their valleys. Oh, I'd like to get quick answers to every prayer. But how many times you heard me say, it doesn't matter if it's one step or a long valley. Blessed men go through. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Said last night, when you're in darkness and have no light, before you strike the match to deliver yourself or use the arm of the flesh, shove it out of hand and give God first shot. Trust in the name of the Lord. Keep coming back. Don't quit. If you can't stand up, sit up. If you can't sit up, nod your head. If you can't nod your head, blink your eyes. Be bold with God. I brought tonight the New Testament Theological Dictionary on Phoresis. It's about 30, 40 pages. But I want to finish Bosworth right now on this subject. That you come boldly to God, but never forgetting He loved you first. God sometimes wants to know that you really, really do believe Him. Some of you shouted, God for me.
Yes,
sir. Yes. And for those that didn't believe the prostate cancer, at least this sickness, put me into a battery of tests. Ain't no prostate. That's gone. But this goddamn little nausea, but you said goddamn. That's what I want God to do to this nausea.
Yes,
and now I'm reading Bosworth. The unchangeable nature of God to heal and Christ's present attitude. And I'm at his 10th note on what he's declaring to those that think that Christ only healed when he was here in his earthly ministry. He's outlining the present attitude of Christ toward healing. Number 10, if you want the others, get the festival of last night. His present attitude is also revealed by the fact that, quote, he hath redeemed us. Not some. He hath redeemed us. Not a few. He hath redeemed us, all of us, from the curse of the law. Let us pass out from underneath it, if you want the Greek, I will add. The curse was falling. He let it fall on him. The Greek's very precise. We pass out from underneath it. Galatians 3. We have seen in a previous message, and I went there and read it to you, the curse as it's outlined in Deuteronomy. All manner of diseases are part of that curse. It lists a host of diseases that are included in the curse. He redeemed us from it. Number 11. His present attitude is revealed by the fact that the Holy Spirit and His work in us is the earnest And again, erebone is the word in the Greek. Part payment of that which shall be full. He doesn't say that, but I'm telling you. The word earnest, translated in the King James, erebone, part payment of that which shall be full. We use it in modern real estate transactions when you pay earnest money. But in New Testament world, if you paid your earnest payment in cows, you had to pay the complete payment in cows. If you paid it in sheep, you had to pay the complete payment in sheep. The part payment had to be the same as the full payment when it comes. Same medium of exchange. Quote, the earnest of our inheritance is what we have in the Holy Spirit until the redemption of the purchased possession, Ephesians 1:14. So our part payment denies us health. It's ridiculous on its face. We have already pointed out that because our eternal destiny is both spiritual and bodily, this mortality will put on immortality, but is a bodily resurrection. Our redemption must also be spiritual and bodily. Therefore, we cannot receive our full inheritance until the coming day of redemption. But thank God, being filled with the Spirit, we now have the earnest part payment of it, identical in nature to the full payment when it comes, I've added, which is the Greek. Paul tells us we have the first fruits also of the Spirit. These are manifested both spiritually and physically. The first fruits of the Spirit include the earnest of immortality, a foretaste of the resurrection. Our bodies are members of Christ. His glorified bodily life is truly linked with our bodies, as his spiritual life is linked with our spirits. The same life that's in the vine is in its branches. In Christ, the true vine, there's both spiritual and bodily life. It is only by bringing into our bodies some of the same life that he is to bring at the resurrection that the Spirit can be the earnest of our inheritance of the body. Since our inheritance includes a glorified body, what must the earnest be? Thank God, the life of Jesus also, or to quote it exactly, the life also of Jesus may, as Paul says, be made manifest in our mortal flesh. His immortal life touches our mortal bodies with a foretaste of redemption. This enables us to finish our course in order that we may receive the full reward, and we aren't to finish the course crippling along sick. You hear me, God? Yeah, I hear you, Gene, but I'm going to squeeze you a little more because you can take it. The day's not over yet. Don't quit at night. Does not nature itself reveal the present attitude? This is number 12. Does not nature itself... You bored?
No.
At least you're not sick, or you don't look it. Does not nature itself reveal the present attitude of Christ toward the healing of our body? This is a good one. He's countering those that say it's not the will of God to heal all of us. He's countering this despicable attitude, well, I know God can heal, but I have to pray if it be thy will, heal me. He's countering the philosophic nonsense. God is able, and he does sometimes, but maybe it isn't his will to heal me. I know it's his will to heal me, and I know it's not his will for me to have this nausea, and I'm sick of having it, and I'm yelling at him. He ain't making his word look that good with me sitting here sick. I'm saying what the psalmist said. That is a pretty good argument. Why are you letting me die? I mean, you know, the body in the dirt ain't going to praise you. Well, I can make rocks praise me. Well, that's right. So, fill heaven with rocks and leave me alone. Just leave me dirt. Don't give me hell. I don't want that. You don't have that choice. We're his representatives down here. And for the fool that says If not God's will to heal all, then he sure bleeped up when he created things. Let me show you what he says. You can't just get this by reading it. Does not nature itself reveal the present attitude of Christ toward the healing of our bodies? Nature everywhere is healing, or at least doing her best to heal. As soon as disease germs enter our body, the immune system begins to attack them. Nature begins to expel them. Break a bone, cut a finger, nature will do her utmost to heal it, and usually succeeds. Now, has God commanded nature to rebel against his own will? If sickness is the will of God for his children, we sure got rebellious bodies. All those blood cells that combat sickness, who put them there? The devil? Nonsense. If sickness, as some think, is the will of God for his faithful children, then it is a sin for them even to desire to be well. Let me read that again for those that are not necessarily slow, just weren't listening. If sickness, as some think, is the will of God for his faithful children, then it is a sin for them to even want to be well, to desire to be well. You're running the risk of going against God's will. And don't qualify it if it would be thy will, O Lord, because you wouldn't be that prayer if you didn't want to be well. I'm sick, it must be God's will. Make me sicker, O God, that I might submit to thee. This says nothing of spending thousands of dollars to defeat his purpose. I mean, all you elderly will elect whichever president makes your medicine cheaper. So you and the president can go against God's will for you to be sick. It's nonsense. I truly, Bosworth says, thank God for all the help that's ever come to sufferers through the physician, through the surgeon, the hospital, and the trained nurse. If sickness is the will of God, then to quote one writer, every physician is a lawbreaker. Every trained nurse is defying the Almighty. Every hospital is a house of rebellion instead of a house of mercy. If this were true, instead of supporting hospitals, we ought to do our utmost to close every one of them. Because it's God's will for people to be sick. Pretty ludicrous when you take a long look at it, isn't it? You listening, God? We're discovering your will to heal all of us. Your will is your word expressed. Don't have to wonder. I've read the will. If the modern theology of those who teach that God wants some of his worshipers to remain sick for his glory is true, this is pretty tight logic. If the modern theology of those who teach that God wants some of his worshipers to remain sick for his glory, if that is true, then Jesus, during his earthly ministry, never hesitated to rob the Father of all the glory he could by healing all who came to him. You know, that could stand a second reading too, couldn't it? If the modern theology of those who teach that God wants some of his worshipers to remain sick for his glory, if that is true, then Jesus, during his earthly ministry, never hesitated to rob the Father of all the glory he could by healing all who came to him. The Holy Spirit likewise, after the ascension, through the apostles, robbed God of all the glory he could by healing all the sick in the streets of Jerusalem. And Paul, too, as I read last night on the Isle of Miletus, robbed God of all the glory he could by healing all the sick on the island of Melita. Many today hold that God afflicts even the obedient because he loves them. You're killing me with your love, God. Many today hold that God afflicts even the obedient because he loves them, making sickness a love token from our Heavenly Father. Well, if that's true, I'm an abused wife. The bride of Christ. If this is true, why do they try to get rid of his love token? Why doesn't the one suffering with a cancer pray for a second blessing for themselves? I'm going to read that again. Why doesn't the one, if that's true, why doesn't the one suffering with a cancer pray for a second blessing for themselves and also ask him to thus bless their wife, children, father, mother, neighbors, friends, and all of them? Pour your love out, O God. Make us sicker than a dog. Doesn't he chasten? Not with sickness, when you come by faith discerning. He's not so unimaginative he can't find another way to chasten. Next. Our Lord's attitude now is shown by the fact, his present attitude toward sickness, that he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Think of his leaving heaven and making the awful transition of becoming a man and of all the suffering and sacrifice that followed. What was the purpose that moved him in all this? The Scriptures give the answer for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And this purpose included the healing of, quote, all that were oppressed of the devil. Since he was glorified, has he relinquished this purpose, which he retained even during the bloody sweat of Gethsemane and the awful tortures of Calvary? Does he want the works of the devil that he formerly wanted to destroy to remain in our bodies? Can it be that he now wants a cancer, a plague, a curse, the works of the devil, and the members of Christ and the temples of the Holy Ghost? Is it not true his will, truly his will, to heal any part of the body of Christ? If not, why has he commanded any sick among you to have hands laid on them, anointed in his name for healing? He's destroying the attitude it's God's will for any of us to be sick. Since the body is for the Lord, a living sacrifice unto God, would he not rather have a well body than one that's a wreck? When I could take off here on the requirements under the law, which were a type of things to come. He didn't offer an afflicted, a sick, a crippled sacrifice on the altar. Not allowed. You were killed if you did in the Old Testament. That was a type of our offering ourselves. We cannot help our condition. God has promised through His name to heal us. You could not be a priest and stand before the Lord with affliction in your body. We're to come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, why don't you give up on your faith, you chick? I don't think I'm right. I haven't spent a lifetime digging through His will. I could be your attorney representing you as the beneficiary at the throne of God with the details of His will. I don't think I'm right, and know I'm right. Sickness has no right to remain in my body when I take this cup and this bread 1 second. Well, then why don't you give up? Because I intend to keep telling God about His Word. I intend to go out swinging if it's time to go out. And my first words to God will be, "You sure made a fool of yourself." But deep down, I'm waiting. Not very patiently. Maybe when I get to that state, He'll act sooner. I'm doing what I tell you to do. Don't try to explain the Word away. Just keep hanging on to it. It is God's express will that we may abound to every good work, that we may be prepared unto every good work, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, zealous of good works, careful to maintain good works. Is this only for well men and women? If not, if for all, He would have to heal the sick to make this possible. No man can abound unto every good work while confined to a sick room. Oh, I'm ready and willing to be offered up, as Paul said, if this test for me makes some of you that have come again and again and have fallen into the attitude, I've been there, expressed in a different context, nobody to take me to the pool at a recent Shalom service, stretch forth your hand and just keep doing it. He will honor His Word. He will enter in. It is God's will that no one of us of His body who come boldly before His throne because of what Christ did be sick. But you're sick. Yeah. But I'm claiming healing. We're going to go to the table of the Lord in a few minutes. I'm in the middle of teaching on this healing. And as usual, my wife caught it first. No one else moved. The camera dropped down and the man was out on his feet. But he's on his feet now. Where are you? Hallelujah. Sit down. Sit down, everybody. Everybody sit down. I'm going to finish this before we go to the table of the Lord. His present attitude toward healing. We went in the chapel and rebuked the devil. And he's crying and praying for me to be healed. I said, "Yeah, that'll happen. I'm right now, we'll take care of you." His present attitude is revealing the very meaning of the word salvation. You know, it's interesting to see the Spirit-led teachers all come to the same truth. They're all the same. The word soteria. I know something of Bosworth. He's not a real Greek scholar. And soterion is the word the soteria is okay, which is the Greek word for salvation, implies deliverance, preservation, healing, health, and soundness. It's like the word shalom in the Old Testament. I've told you this many times. Soterion. Translated salvation, where do we think we get the word for healing, solve? It includes health and healing. In the New Testament, it is applied sometimes to the soul and at other times to the body only. The Greek word sozo, translated saved, also means healed, made sound, made whole. In Romans 10:9, it's translated saved. In Acts 14:9, the same word is translated healed, in referring to the healing of the man lame from birth. Both Greek words for salvation and saved are the same word, just different derivatives, mean both spiritual and physical deliverance, or in other words, spiritual and physical healing. Paul states in Ephesians 5:23 that, quote, he is the Savior of the body. Is this for some or for all? Dr. Scofield, in his footnote on the word salvation, says, salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes. The word, therefore, includes our possession and enjoyment of all the blessings revealed by his redemptive names, including, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. It is therefore the gospel of healing for the body as well as for the soul, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone, I'll say, that faitheth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. It's not God's will for any of us, any of you, faithful callers upon his name, to be sick. How many times have I taken you to these elements and asked the question, why are they two? Am I to say, cleanse me from all my sins, if it be thy will, O Lord, when I take this cup? Oh, how devilishly inspired those that would misquote Paul and say, examine yourself to see if you're worthy. He never said that. Examine your manner of partaking. Do you discern, understand, what is you doing? Are you remembering what he accomplished for you? When you do that, you're partaking worthily. This cup symbolizes his blood poured out, adequate and sufficient to pay the price for all my sins, past, present, and future. I don't ask the question, is it God's will for me to remain a sinner? I remain a sinner, I can tell you that, till I die. But because of what he did, his spirit moves in me, and I become, in addition to the old man that still wrestles to have its way, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. His resurrection life through the Spirit inhabits my blood now, and by faith I approach the throne with boldness, knowing there is no question. God's will settled it. Every sin that he forgave from Adam and Eve to the present, or until the cross, was an expression of his faith in the word of his Son, the Lamb slain from the foundation, to pay the price, which he ultimately did. I'm made worthy. God's will was expressed at Calvary. He took my sins. I'm made worthy by what He did. No question. God wants me cleansed, His Spirit to dwell in me. And I can lift this cup and thank Him for His amazing grace. I truly am made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Well, what's the difference? Why are the two elements here? If sin's the only issue, I don't need the bread. If sin's the only issue, He didn't need to do anything but die. He didn't have to suffer the bruisings and the beatings. The punishment to restore our health, shalom, was put on Him. He picked up our sicknesses and our pains, as well as our trespasses and iniquities. With His stripes, we were healed. That's God's will. He hasn't changed. He's the Lord that healeth thee. He made it possible at Calvary to remove any question. I don't have to deserve it, neither do you. He wants us well. He wants you well. Claim it, that I've been doing night after night. Going back. Going to outdo the woman that went to the unjust judge. With His stripes. Say it with me. With His stripes, I was healed. Let me tell you what is wrong with a lot of this congregation. You're cerebral Christians, full of disbelief and carnality, who hear words and absolutely do not understand the spiritual conflict we're confronting. This man, passed out standing up on the camera. I went to pray for him. It was as though I had put a faucet of water on my hands. The perspiration that was dripping from him. I hope she can take it. I feel sorry for this man's wife. She had a natural explanation for an attack of Satan. That's the problem of all of you as I've been teaching about spiritual warfare. You're going to give a natural explanation first. She called and said she had an explanation from passing out. He may be weak because he's been fasting for pastor. To make matters worse, one of my sorters bought that explanation as a possibility and ran to my wife with it. You know, you can't get anyone to rejoice over being found that doesn't know they're lost. You can't train anyone in spiritual warfare that doesn't give credence to the enemy. I want to show you how stupid that explanation is. And I think it's wonderful that the devil is colorblind. Were any of you here the night that a black man, strong, strapping, was on this camera? in contrast to the faithful white man that was on this camera and went out the same way. Any of you here? Let me see your hand. And we ran to keep a camera from crashing to the floor. Identical as the devil fought the message I'm trying to get out. I'm surrounded by carnal people, and I feel like saying to each of those what Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Your first thought is to find a natural explanation. I remember attempting to cast a demon out of a person a few years ago that no one on staff would believe he was full of the devil. And as he resisted and his hands began to twist, I had a bonehead, smelled too much paint thinner all his life, with not a spiritual cell in his body. He came here because I was fighting the government. He didn't have an ounce of God in him, never did. Decided it must be heat or dehydration. We carried a man to the hospital that became demon-possessed. You cannot cast a demon out of someone that does not recognize he's got a problem. A fully possessed person has no will. You can cast the devil out. But when it's the in and out expression and you will not accept the reality, you can't deliver that man. It's like trying to get a lost man to be found when he doesn't know he's lost, or to cooperate with ridding him of a demon when he refuses to even believe they exist. Oh, there are people listening to me know. When this man became possessed, it took two or three men to bend his joints and his legs to somehow fit him inside the cab as we took him to emergency hospital. And I told him of his condition, but he was a judgmental ass that always substituted his opinions for the things of God. Spent over $5,000 in tests of every kind. They could find nothing. Anybody in here that remembers that incident? There's one. There's two. Nothing wrong with him. The devil took him over a rebellious, disobedient, judgmental series of acts. Our staff people saw me when someone finally in the garage a few weeks ago recognized the fact that he was under the control of Satan. In less than 5 seconds, I was able to deliver him. His whole demeanor, his light, his eyes that were empty and glaring suddenly became alive. How many were in here when you saw that happen? Not in here, out in the garage. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I could call them to witness. A couple of them that fell on their face crying to God. They, not until they had the experience. You've not stood where I've stood in the heart of India or facing witch doctors in northern Luzon. I don't know what kind of a congregation I have created that's a bunch of cerebral, judgmental asses that do not believe in both the power of the Spirit and that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And there are some big-time demons wanting to silence this ministry, and I told you that last May when I said I have discerned that the devil is making an all-out effort to destroy this ministry by attacking me first physically. And you come here and yield to a scientism state of mind that prefers the natural explanation, that renders you without a weapon to fight the devil. Better be wrong in rebuking the devil. There's plenty of time to deal with the natural. You tell me the statistical possibility that the strong black man standing at this camera would pass out in exactly the same manner as the strong white man did tonight. And he seems, you're fine right now, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Well, you haven't eaten anything, have you?
No.
No, not since you passed out here. So, it must not be your absence of food. I can forgive the wife. She loves him. I can forgive Mr. Helpful over here. What I'm frustrated about is the inability to get you to think in spiritual ways. I don't want you looking in every closet for a demon with a forked tail and a pitchfork. But you better start understanding if you get on this battle line, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And the devil is not wasting any small peon private, junior, rookie demons. Look at the timing. He was there for almost 3 hours. Look at the exact timing. Just when I was to the last two paragraphs before going to the table of the Lord. The devil lost, and we won a victory, but no help from you natural, carnal, thinking people that are an impediment to victory in this ministry. I know who is attacking me, and it's not the Lord. That's why I get up and come here. We're going to win this victory. I'm telling you what most of you don't know except the sick ones. I have never encountered as much sickness in our congregation as we're having to battle right now. And what the devil's trying to do to the leader, he's trying to do to all the soldiers. We can't, I don't need to read the Bible, read the Chinese expert on the art of war. You can't win a war if you don't know who the enemy is. And you try to explain it with every other. Wake up. The devil didn't win tonight. But I don't need any of you natural diagnosticians. Why'd I go in the chapel to pray for him? If there's a natural explanation, go buy him a hamburger. Pretty stupid, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Now, if the shoe fits, wear it and kiss the paddle and get some faith on the phone before we go into the service at 10 o'clock. Now, get on the telephone.